I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Been a little while since a lot of things. Been a long time since a regular season NFL football game. Been a little while since a Ken and Curtis show. And Chris Curtis joins me here now. What were we off, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks off, back with a vengeance, 3-hour tour today. But football is upon us. We had the UNC debut Monday. We've had the Red Sox in a pennant race for the better parts of a couple weeks. And now you get your Vrabel debut tomorrow. And I know you're a big anticipation guy. You like to...
I love previewing.
You like previewing. You like manifesting.
I do.
I want the Curtis, start Patriots here, hopes and fears for this season. A year after you were very high on the Mayo opening season win. We know week one, there's overreactions everywhere.
Right. I did. I think I led the league in the overreacting to week one.
It was really based on Bill derangement syndrome.
I guess I was really wrong about him.
You just wanted to spike the football on Bill. It's fine. But here we are a year later. Not a ton of player turnover, to be honest.
Not a ton of player turnover.
I guess that's not true. I mean, they have...
Every captain's been unseated.
But, like, offensive-wise, they have Diggs, they have Travion.
They have no David Andrews. They have, I mean...
They got a new line, for the most part, so I guess that's
correct. They lost City So. I mean, what are
So skill position-wise, not a ton of turnover. Drake May is starting the season, which he didn't last year. Anyway, your biggest hope for this team, point of optimism going into the season?
It is the notion and foundational component of this team is that, and that's a difference maker, is that they are being run by adults, and that it will not be because they have a self-inflicted wound that they have a disastrous season. It will be because the talent isn't there. It's because Drake May isn't what we hoped he'd be. It's because Steph Diggs was available to sign on this deal because he's a head case, whatever it is. But it's not going to, I'm not going to sit there tomorrow and say, wait, do they have too many men on the field? Why are they getting? Why is the play clock at 5 when they haven't even broken the huddle? Why are they having the wrong? Why they have to call a timeout? Their second timeout in the third quarter because they had the wrong defense on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is, their offensive coordinator knows that they have a defensive player that can play offense.
Will he actually play offense?
But if you go back, all the way back to 2022,
okay.
So 2021 was Mac's rookie year. They go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. 2022. They bring in Judge and Patricia.
Right.
And from that year through last season, I would make the argument they were the worst coach team in the NFL, top to bottom. And you forget about the things of like...
And managed from the GM spot.
Just the worst franchise in the NFL from the end of the 2021 season till now. That is, I think, inarguable. And what the reasoning was behind that was that you forget that the head coach didn't talk to the quarterback. And we treated it like it was normal. The head coach went from October until the conclusion of the season without talking to the starting quarterback.
Yeah, but do we know if Vrabel talks to May?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just
Where
amazing.
Where has that been reported?
It hasn't been confirmed. I don't even want to. Do we even know that Vrabel's a coach? I didn't see the contract.
I don't think. Good point.
I mean, what are we doing
Might
here?
Just be fooling us on Patriots.
Are we
Mondays.
Sure there's a game tomorrow? Can we get Courtney on the line? Is there going to be a game tomorrow? If so, where did she read it? Was there anybody else in America that didn't think that story was real after 7 different people confirmed it?
I didn't mean to bring up.
Was there anybody else? Did you hear a single solitary soul question the veracity of that report?
That Bill is shutting out scouts
right.
in North Carolina.
When Vrabel was asked about it and said yes, right. Was there anybody? I mean, I'm just curious.
The first guy that reported it was I had never heard.
Of course, and that's why we don't go with Middlecoff. I'd never heard
you
of him.
You guys
in my life.
Get up early, so I'm assuming some people had seen.
So when ESPN and then Doug Kide and then the New York Times and then the Boston Globe, like James confirmed it. Like, are we doing?
By the way, that ball stolen in Philly last night, did you put yourself in James's shoes? Like, did you see that whole thing?
Yes.
I mean, would you have punched the lady? Or I mean, you don't want a physical violence guy, but geez.
But that is a great representation of our society today. The people that need us most get screwed the worst. Anyway, carry on.
Back on track. So, Vrabel, adults in the room. They were horrible from 2022 on. 2022, they were 8-9. So you're seeing 2023 on, right?
Well, 2022, remember the Fail Mary.
Yeah.
There was that Raiders game, considering they're playing the Raiders tomorrow, was an interesting one to look back at.
Yeah.
Because how many times, I think on a drive, they scored twice. Both were called back when they were on the 1 yard line. You remember this? There was like a touchdown, there was a hold. There was a touchdown, there was a procedure. And Max looking at the sideline, it was the worst goal line offensive play series I have ever seen in my life. That team consistently precluded themselves from winning. And I don't think
they had our guy Billy O'Brien in that year, right?
Right. No, 23.
Oh, that was 23. That was 23.
But what you saw then will not be the case this year. I do not believe that they will lose because they were disorganized, ill-prepared, or unable to deal with situational football.
Okay. I mean, I generally, and by the way, you've talked to Vrabel now a couple times. Do you get a good vibe from him on the
love him.
The Vrabel interviews?
Easy going.
Very relaxed?
I would say he's a mix of Belichick and Mayo in that he is, but he does, Mayo would arrive like, and he'd just hang out for 5 minutes. Bill would arrive and just fart for 5 minutes. And then, but Vrabel arrives literally as the segment's beginning and he hangs out very matter of fact. I think the fact that we have Greg and Wiggy, Greg who knew him as a friend, Wiggy knew him as a teammate, he feels more at ease. And I've enjoyed it. I think it's been good so far.
And I don't think you're wrong in saying that. I mean, a lot of people would point to that. The coach is the biggest reason for hope this year. And a coach does matter in the NFL, no doubt about that. I mean, I believe that. It's just, wouldn't you rather be saying some player X gives me the most hope about this team?
No, because
you don't really have that to go to.
I thought their biggest issue was coaching recently. That's been the thing that they've had to correct the most. They had the worst coaching
more
in the NFL.
More so than O-line? More so than receivers?
Yeah. Who was their O-line coach last year?
Who was their O-line coach last year?
He, like, left the team.
Right.
I mean, so you have Doug Marrone, who has been a very successful coach in the NFL. I mean, if not for some bad officiating in the Brady-gashed-hand AFC Championship game, the Jaguars go to the Super Bowl with Blake Bortles. So
Terp, who was the Patriots' O-line coach last year? Justin Turpin, back out of retirement and producing here on a Saturday.
Who was last year? I don't even remember. Okay. I don't even remember.
All right, look that up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But anyway, yeah, okay, so better coaching. But you would like to say, I don't know, like of all the, you've seen some early football here, Thursday and Friday nights. The Chargers have a new running back, Hampton. He wasn't the big reason they won last night. Herbert was, you know, pretty good. I've been a skeptic. But he was on the screws
last night.
He
looked like Baby Pedro last night.
He did. Pedro goes tomorrow.
Herbert looked really good. He looked awesome. And the Chiefs are not going to be, they're not going to be in the AFC Championship this year. And they've done, it's really pathetic that the Hunts have done what the Krafts and Belichick did, where you have this guy who is the golden goose. You will never have a player as good as Patrick Mahomes, even close to Patrick Mahomes, the rest of your tenure as the owner of this team. No matter how many generations of the Hunt family take over the Chiefs, you will never have another Patrick Mahomes. And you're allowing him to be throwing to Hollywood Brown, one of the worst drops I have ever seen.
That was
last
a bad
night.
One on the sideline.
And you have, who's the guy that got hurt? Worthy gets hurt on the pick play with Kelsey.
Right. Tyquan Thornton being featured.
It's just embarrassing.
Although the one throw he made, it was unbelievable. That Mahomes pass in the third quarter where he is horizontal and just chucks it at the line of scrimmage. It's one of the greatest passes I've ever seen.
Okay.
I mean, not the greatest, but it's up there. It was like a 3-yard pass. But somehow he made it unbelievable. But anyway, to your point, I agree. Chiefs, this is their year to be have a setback.
Right. And
plus all the Kelce Swift drama that's going to get in their heads.
And you have an ownership group that's gone to 3 straight Super Bowls that has been printing cash, demanding the taxpayer pay for the new Chiefs stadium, not investing to allow Mahomes to maximize. Like, it just seems like you just had an example of this. You're trying to be the Patriots. And you allow Mahomes to, I mean, now, believe me, Brady got to the AFC Championship with that kind of talent, so Mahomes should be able to do that. But you are squandering the prime of the greatest player you'll ever have's career.
Chiefs did have a first-round pick at left tackle who looked pretty good, Josh Simmons, the 32nd pick in the draft from Ohio State. So you go back to the Patriots, you make your debut with Will Campbell, who's got an ankle injury. I think that actually is probably the guy I'm hoping is the best. The biggest hope for the season is that he is a stud. Joe Alt for the Chargers, Shimes guy, the initial Shime time guy, is unbelievable. The time that Herbert had back there last night was incredible. He just stands.
But that's
back
why
there.
So much of this is luck. Like the year that you need a tackle at that same spot, you get Will Campbell. Whereas the Chargers, I think it was at the fourth pick in the draft that they took Will Joe Alt.
That's true.
So like it's just dumb luck. But that brings me to why am I not optimistic?
Right,
Elliot Wolf.
You're not afraid, but not optimistic.
No, I'm not. I'm only afraid about the inability to confirm if the Patriots are indeed playing tomorrow. But
are you two going to get over this? By the way.
I'm not the one who brings it to the air and complains about the tone of someone's voice.
Oh, God.
You know, if you don't have the facts, you bang the table. And so, anyway, the Patriots, I believe, Achilles heel is simple. That their roster management has been awful for years. They have no depth.
So bad. Well, I tweeted this last night. Fitzy's guy is McConkey, right?
Yep.
They Brad had McConkey. A chance to draft McConkey. They traded back. Gave him to the Chargers, and instead took Polk and Baker with the two picks they got for trading back. It's unbelievable. That's a year ago. That's not like 5 years ago. That's Elliot Wolf before last season, which has set them back. That is maybe worse than DK Metcalf and N'Keal Harry, wouldn't you say?
Who is it again?
Well, you passed on Ladd McConkey, and you took Polk and Baker, who neither are going to be on the roster.
I mean, you go back, and we can go back again, to our first Whalers roadshow when the day after the Patriots had drafted Cole Strange. And you go through these drafts, that's why they are where they are. I mean, the draft that they had with Drake May was a no-brainer. Terp, you, me, James, Wiggy, everybody would have taken Drake May at third. You needed a quarterback, and he was the one that fell in your lap.
Right.
So everything following that, was a disaster.
Right.
And you are now looking like if Caden Wallace, who Phil Perry or Andrew Callahan said was the 53rd player on the roster, if he's not on the team, then you have no one. Mm. And so I just don't understand what Elliot Wolf is doing here. I really don't. I don't know. I know we've talked about it, and he's going to be the fall guy, and Wiggy's been spot on that. Like, I get it. But I find the whole thing to be just – inexcusable, and his existence still on the staff is something that makes me feel like Vrabel doesn't have entirely the power that I thought he did.
By the way, the O-line coach of the Patriots may have been Scott Peters last year.
Scott Peterson, he fled.
Scott Peters. Oh. Or it may have been Adrian Clem, per the text line. But nobody is still sure. Five minutes later. Well,
I guess it's a good thing when you don't know your offensive line. It's a bad thing when you don't know their coach.
It was Peters last year and Clem the year before.
Ah, there we go. It's been a lot of turnover.
Adrian Clem, Bill's first draft pick.
So Mike Inwenu, poor Mike Inwenu. Everybody focuses on the new coordinators for Drake May. Mike Inwenu, who we just heard in the replay, has had a new O-line coach for like four straight years.
Right.
And this guy has risen above it.
We got to talk pad level.
Now, are you afraid of the injuries like to Campbell? Gonzalez obviously out this week, and potentially, you know, Diggs coming off the ACL. There are so many things about this game that are just a total mystery. Don't you feel more in the dark about this team than any in previous years as
honestly,
far as who's
I feel
playing
like
where?
Every year we have been basically, so 20, you have Cam Newton, you have no idea what to get. Probably going to stink. 21, Mac Jones rookie year. That was a crapshoot. Same thing with 22, 23, and then 24, you have, you know, Gerard Mayo here. Nobody saw them going to the Bengals and winning that game. So I feel like this falls in line when you have a young team that has had that kind of a turnover at the leadership positions, has a new head coach. I just feel that the Patriots' edge tomorrow, 1 o'clock game against a West Coast team, you have Josh McDaniels, who was railroaded, maybe rightly so, but was absolutely, in a way that I have never seen a coach be slandered when he left the Raiders last 2 years ago. So you have him coaching against that team on offense.
Yeah, but Pete Carroll's still hot about being railroaded some 25 years ago.
I think Pete Carroll is like, he has like a smoothie for breakfast because chewing's hard.
Oh, no. So he's like a Biden level?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not worried about Pete Carroll. I think the Patriots win tomorrow something like 31-24.
What about Brady, though? The Brady factor. 2% owner. I mean, he's been very involved with this team.
That was a whiff by Greg when he brought up 2% when referencing Brady's ownership.
Actually, you put a video in the chat earlier this week. I want to play for the Mark Davis interview.
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting. Well, I'll play that later in the show. But join the program. It's Ken and Curtis back on. Rusty, as the Pats will be tomorrow, I'm sure. Your biggest hope, your biggest concern for the Patriots heading into the opener tomorrow, 617-779-7937. You can text the show at 617-779-7937. By the way, somebody on the text line, 978 texter, Chiefs are entering their 05-13 Pats window. You think that's true? This is like the lull?
I mean,
the nadir in between titles?
If their division is now much better than the AFC East was. So, of all the things, Belichick, Brady, whatever, break it down. But the biggest catalyst for the Patriots to be good for so long was that their division was awful.
And Brady taking less. But yes, 1A and 1B.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, Terps here for trending. And you have...
Terp, I have a quick question. You are Celtics... I think you're the best Celtics guy in town.
Oh, thank you.
Why have we not seen or heard from Chisholm at all since he became the owner?
Ooh. That is an interesting question. I think they might wait till media day at this point. They were kind of weird about it last year, too. Like, Jason Tatum signed one of the biggest contracts in NBA history, and they didn't even do an intro presser to that stuff. So right. I think it's coming soon.
Even like, Robert Kraft is going to speak this weekend on BZ, right? We heard a snippet of that.
Yeah. By the way, Stacey James deserves a raise. He knew... They had to know that the story was percolating, and you get ahead of that. Brilliant. But, yeah, it's just interesting. You'd think like maybe like a Shamrock event or like, you know, something where he's just out there with the media doing something locally. I don't know. It just seemed interesting.
It has been interesting. Terp caught up with – were you down in Providence and you caught up with Tatum when he was down there? So Tatum,
he didn't talk, but he was there.
He was around.
He walked up three stairs at once, and people were going nuts about it.
It's a slow build. Terp's got the update from the late-night Sox game and more. Here's what's trending.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Eniade.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
3-2. He throws. Swinging a high drive into left center field. This thing is crushed. It's back in the track. It's at the wall and it is gone. A homer for Geraldo Perdomo. And right away, the Diamondbacks lead it 1-0.
Curtis stayed up to almost 1 a.m. last night to watch the finish of that one. I appreciate your dedication to Red Sox baseball. Not a good finish, though. 10-5, the loss.
If I had to pinpoint one specific point of the wild ride that I've been on as a member of this radio station, I like to just wipe people up.
Intermittent music?
Yeah. It was the Phoenix Super Bowl trip. What an absolute S show. That whole thing was. It was highlighted by a Maestro's dinner with Kevin Graham, thinking the company was going under. I think it was a $10,000 dinner. And they had one rule, don't touch the plate when they came out, and bombed me.
Well, that was Pete Carroll's Seahawks, right?
That was Jerry Thornton confronted Richard Sherman right behind our table and said, you mad bro, right?
Stopping of a dynasty. It was also my first weekend on the board here back at WEI. It was early 2015, right?
Yep. We had the crazy John Dennis stayed for the turf convention that was canceled.
10 years, well, full circle.
Yeah, and that was I think we had like 4 feet of snow in a month then. But anyway, that was before global warming. but that Phoenix, we were at that stadium for something. I think it was like
Chase Field.
Chase Field, but
nice stadium. I was there last year.
You were hot, and it was hot.
It was hot.
It was actually weird.
I got a T-shirt though. It was the Randy Johnson Hall of Fame induction.
Well, nickname is Big Unit.
And I had a prickly pear vodka drink, which was banging. Awesome. Watermelon vodka. You get one of those in center field. Woo! That has you going for the game.
Why don't you get a pear vodka instead of watermelon?
It was a watermelon flavored vodka, but it was laced with the prickly pear fruit. It's good. I don't know. I don't understand the whole thing, but it was really good.
You're a wild man. Red Sox in a tough spot right now.
I don't feel good about it. I got to be honest there. This was the first per Bradfo, first non-opener start that didn't go five innings since August 23rd, so that's not a huge amount of time, but that's a good chunk of time. Tolley goes three. I was there Friday night at Fenway for the Tolley debut, Curtis.
I saw.
It was electric. I mean, the fans welcoming him off. It felt like one of those turning points of the season where you found the lightning in a bottle, the diamond in the rough. You caught something. And here's the guy coming off, and he had, I think, 16 swings and misses last night. A lot of fastballs. It was just like straight gas. And then last night, he goes back to the to the same method and not good results. So, you know, you don't want to jump off ship after one bad start. But Keith and Jones with the mustaches
yesterday,
they may have jinxed them. I don't know. Maybe a little too soon to jump on the bandwagon.
Jones like looked too close to Super Mario for my liking. But at what point can we bring up Devers again?
Yeah, I mean, it's the return for Devers.
But 16 home runs now with the Giants. The Giants have won 9 of 10. There are three games over 500. And who knows? But the
narrative on that has done a 180 multiple times already.
Right. At the beginning, it was a disaster. And then, you know, we had the duck boat parade for the winning streak before the All-Star break. Then things kind of crapped out.
Well, the analysis at the beginning was true. Your analysis was right at the times, as was mine. They did it too soon. Nope, nobody had a problem with them doing it. And they didn't get enough back.
Right. They prioritized the money. I mean, I know that we haven't brought it up yet, but yesterday morning, Greg brought up the Jeff Passan story where he does the off-season primer. And he speculates that Bregman's going to want 175 in 5 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're doing that. Do you?
Well, Bradfo said yesterday he doesn't think he's going to opt out. He is going against the grain. He thinks the Red Sox don't think Bregman will opt out. They're going to basically test him, is the
Why
way I read it.
Why do you have Scott Boras as an agent and you get these opt outs? And you're going to. So you think that Scott Boras is going to say, no, keep. What does he have left on 120?
I think he can opt out after next year, so he could make $40 million for 1 year and then opt out next year, as Bradfo's thinking.
And he'll be 32.
He'll be 32.
Yeah. No way. What? Why does Rob get everything wrong?
I mean, that's what the Red Sox are thinking. That's what he's saying the Red Sox think.
Right. That is very stupid if they think that.
Yeah.
I think he's opting out.
I agree with you. I think he's going to opt out. I think it's a fait accompli. He'll go for that five-year deal. Yes. Presenting the other side of it.
But like, let's say the Red Sox get to the playoffs and they get to the ALCS and he has a good, you know, good season. There's not a chance in France that he's going to be back and opt in.
Terp, you've been over Fenway this year. Is Bregman opting out? Is it a done deal?
It certainly feels that way.
Okay, so Bradfo's wrong.
I got to see Polymarket, see what the odds are.
Well, look at the odds. But I think he does want to be here if they pay him close to what he's worth.
Stop it with that.
No. Well, he chose them last year over Detroit. He could have been on the Tigers right now. They offered him more money.
$40 million a year?
No, longer
right.
over
so
the duration.
So he gets $40 million this year, which is more than he would have gotten in Detroit, and then he gets to re-up for $175, which gives him $215 over 5 years.
But by that logic, he could take $40 next for the one-year deal with the Red Sox again next year.
Right, but he is in a better bargaining position right now than he was.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Up until last night, he'd been cold, and he's got that injury thing going.
Scott Boras is a pain in the ass, but he is brilliant. And he knows that Devers deal was cash for his client.
They do need him even more so without Devers.
Absolutely. If they lose Bregman after a good season, arrive in the playoffs, and then he leaves and they don't reallocate those resources, I mean, that is not a good look.
Well, we started the show with hopes and fears. In my position, Curtis, in the corner office over there, I always try to hope for the best but prepare for the worst. That's one of my, you know, great mottos, as you've talked about it.
I think you created it.
I think I made that up.
Right.
But are you more afraid of them?
It was either you or Plato.
Could they collapse? Is there a chance? Now, they're like five in the loss column up on the cut line. They couldn't collapse, right? There's no chance of that.
I mean, the recipe is here that, as I said, at the deadline, the crochet innings are going to be a problem. The handling of crochet in uncharted territory is going to create issues. And if you have Ryan in this staff right now, not Dustin Mayday, then you have the opportunity to not only, you know, you win. You get more rest, you get better performance, and you get him less starts as he enters the postseason. I asked Breslow on Thursday, why would you care about the division if you have to get a tired crochet for the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. He said it's not binary.
I know.
You didn't react to that.
Well, you know.
He was right.
It is binary.
Well, no, I think there's some nuance there. I think that you want him to stay on schedule. As he said, Crochet feels like he wants to stay on schedule. So you want to listen to the player a little bit.
So they didn't when he was 85 pitches. That wasn't binary.
No, that was in game, though. That's not rest between starts.
What are you talking about? That's exactly what would occur if he's going up against an innings limit and you only want him to go X number of innings. It'd be the identical situation.
Mm. I think it's probably an innings limit for the season rather than in-game, like you're capping him at 85 pitches
right.
in a particular start.
So there's going to be a game where Crochet feels good.
Yep.
And they're going to say, let's take our foot off the gas.
Well, you think they'll pull him?
Yes.
Well,
I
if, they're, if they're winning big, then there's nothing wrong with that.
But
if it's 8-1.
If you go to the playoffs and you have Crochet as he was at his peak,
yep.
it doesn't matter starter. Where you are, if you're a wild card or not.
Crochet v. Max Fried.
Right. Versus you're starting baby Pedro, you know?
Well, I mean, no, that's true. Let's hope they don't need him to go the last day of the regular season to get into the postseason. But the whole thing is that they just have to get in.
But they, these are all things, in other words, they knew all of this was coming. They knew the innings limit. They knew that they had these young guys both on the positional players and pitchers, and they did Bupkis. And that,
like Hicks and Harris.
But, like, I mean, two guys that have actually been playing like they've been, like, embedded Yankees.
Well, no, and I think Ralph wants to bring this point up. Because of all that, they had to bring Tully up maybe before he was ready. Let's go to Ralph on the phone lines. Ralph, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. You know, I agree with the Crochet thing. I think if Crochet, say he isn't as dominant as he was, it could have hurt the psyche of this team and the confidence. But, you know, bringing this kid up before he's 24, 25 shows you how different the Red Sox are going about it now. And 2 years ago, this kid, they would have held him back and wanted to wait till arbitration came. Now, about years ago, they brought up, and I was a little boy, I don't know if you guys remember it or heard of it, Billy Roar comes up in 67, pitches almost a no-hitter against the Yankees, comes out again, this fireball, this guy that's relying on his fastball, again, almost a shutout. Then five more starts down the minors, he was done. Now, totally, you know, he's throwing a lot of fastballs, but, you know, I hope they don't hurt this kid because, you know, he's still young and he's not used to these innings. So,
no.
I mean, you got two guys now you're counting on, Crochet and Foley, and you're counting on them to be good right now. You know,
Ralph, your phone's not great. Call back later if you get a better line. Sorry about that. Hey, I know the Billy Roar story, Corey Curtis. I know you do.
Yeah, and Katy Perry wrote a song about it.
But I think he's, to Ralph's point, they're hoping for too much from this guy right now. I mean, I guess he's probably a bullpen guy if you get into the postseason and then you're fine. He's just a two-inning guy.
I mean this with all due respect. My childhood was spent changing the channel when Ralph would call in.
Oh, come on now. Our first caller of the day. He was our leadoff batter. Let's go to Sean in Montana. Hello, Sean.
Hello, and good morning there, gentlemen. Real quickly, I forgot to mention this when I called in. Yeah, quickly with the Patriots, it's really bad about Belichick, you know, banning the staff. But again, it's a cheap shot at Kraft because we know tensions are at a fever pitch. That's one part.
But that's not a Kraft. Just on that, Sean. Hold on one second, Sean. Go right to the Red Sox. But it's a cheap shot that impacts people he hired that are scouts that are there to draft his players.
Exactly, because it's really ugly because we know that Belichick and Kraft are
right.
Tensions are ugly with those two. But anyway, the Red Sox, you know, the point I got to make is, you know, you both bring up a good valid point is that every time the Yankees lose, then they lose. It's like Red Sox, you've got to do your part. If you're going to overtake them, you've got to be able to gain ground. I mean, we're in the final point of the season right here. I mean, honestly, I don't believe a collapse. I disagree. I don't think a collapse is going to happen with them. I mean, look, I know that Roman Anthony, the injury has really hurt the team a lot, but you still got to go out there and play a good 9-inning game unless they go to extra innings. I mean, it's tough right now with losing to the Diamondbacks, but yeah, it's disappointing. Last night, they get within 6-5, and I was like, oh, good, hold them. And then, bam, they gave it away with giving up a four spot. Yeah, that was it.
All right, Sean, thank you. Yeah, I mean, you got Giolito and my man tomorrow. So that is huge now. Although you're playing the A's next week, so I guess your schedule's fine. We'll go through the Butch Stern schedule later.
Does it feel like we're locked in a pennant race?
It did until Tuesday night when Roman Anthony hurt the oblique, and now it feels like they're just hanging on. It's now, if you get in the season's a success, you're just hoping to avoid cataclysmic failure. And I think they will, because the 5-game lead is pretty good with 20 to go, but we've seen worse.
Would it be shocking if they shut down Crochet at some point?
Yes, that would be shocking.
Shocking. So if he has another start like he just did against the a game that he won.
So you're suspecting something's hurt there?
No, I'm just I have lived through young stars coming up through the Red Sox that in their very first full season with the club that peter out.
Well, that would be like Steven Strasburg shut down.
No,
stuff.
It's not. I mean, it doesn't have to be that they shut him down completely. It's that
he's put him on ice.
Right.
Save him.
Well, don't you think he's not going to pitch again on 4 days rest? It'll be five.
I think that's fine, but who does Harrison come up and
no,
make
but
a
I'm
start?
Saying, do you think his next start will be on 4 or 5 days rest?
They had the day off, so it's probably going to be on five.
Right.
Just based on the day off they had.
But even if, so going the rest of the season, the regular season, do you think he pitches again on normal rest?
That's what they said. That's what Breslau told you. So I'm going to take him at their word that, yes, they'll get him on back to a regular schedule after this one.
Okay.
But I don't feel very confident about it.
Yeah.
Because they could definitely change their mind on that.
It's just unfortunate.
By the way, I like this 860 texter. Hey, Bill, after that game, there's nothing to scout anyway. Joke's on you.
It is true. But I'm very interested in understanding it's this vitriolic reaction when people, by some in our audience here, that are so defensive of Bill. And it's like, I don't know how many things.
It's not some. It's a good chunk. It's like half still. Don't you feel that?
No. The scouting story did impact a portion of the diehard Bill people. Not all, but I just.
Well, not. But I don't know about that.
It's inexcusable.
Because there's enough. Don't you think if you're a Bill person, you look at that and say, well, he's right. Lombardi's right. They've treated him poorly since he left. There is cause to shut out Patriot scouts from coming.
As I said yesterday, there are many reasons for Robert Kraft, for Bill Belichick to be enraged with Robert Kraft. But the way in which he's gone about it, like I was going to play it this week, but not really the crowd for it in the morning. They're defensive, so I didn't. But like there was those podcasts that Lombardi, Patricia, and Belichick did, ripping Mayo. For not having
year.
A plan. What's
they were
his
having
plan?
A good time last year.
Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Weekly, just mocking him.
Yep.
And I'm like, do you have a mirror? Look at what you just put on the field. All these same Lombardi and Bill.
TCU is pretty good now.
Gridiron geniuses. And it was the thing that was so remarkable was how similar it looked to the Patriots when he was here. It almost looked identical. No tackling. Start off well. The only good offensive drive every game was the one that they scripted. Everything else sucked. It was the fact that the first offensive play of the second half
picked the wrong quarterback.
75 yards to the house. It was shocking.
Did they lose to Charlotte? No. Is that who they have tomorrow?
No, my pick to click is UNC plus minus 12 and a half.
Terp, what's the spread on the Charlotte UNC?
It's up to 13 and a half now.
Yeah.
They heard all the noise.
Right. I'm a sharp, so they picked it up. But
you're not betting now. I heard that.
No, I don't bet.
Declaration.
Well, but then
last year you were on fire for college.
I know, but week one
you can't quit after 1 week.
Well,
you get trolled a little bit on social and you just turn tail and flee.
Oh, if you want to see my notifications, you better call a psychiatrist. But I just don't get it. Like, if Brady left and fell on his face in Tampa and didn't win and the Patriots won a Super Bowl, I would acquiesce and say, yeah, clearly I was wrong. I say I'm wrong all the time. In this case, it's like Bill Belichick was in charge of everything. And he, for these people, gets none of the blame. The way he treated, like, the fact that this is the list. You don't talk to your quarterback. You hire your drinking buddies. And you want to challenge everyone. Cowherd had this week. It was brilliant. It reminded, he didn't say this, but it reminded me of Good Will Hunting. You know, when he's in the therapy with Robin Williams and he's talking about how his buddies challenge him. And he's like, those guys would all take a bullet for you. Like, nobody in your life challenges you. And Bill's whole creed was that we need to challenge Brady. We need to challenge everyone. But don't you dare think of challenging me.
Right.
And that's really where he is. He's at North Carolina getting his doors blown.
Well, how weird is the whole thing? You have Brady owning the Raiders, calling the Giants Commanders game this weekend. They put the statue up outside Gillette. He can't even be here to watch his current team. No. Bill's at North Carolina, falling on his face with the whole Jordan thing going on. It is six years after the divorce?
Yeah.
And this is the state of affairs.
It's just never been worse. I mean, he would have been so much better going on the NFL Today, because all those guys are talked about it for NFL jobs because they're on during NFL games. Like Rex Ryan, not exactly Vince Lombardi, but his name would be brought up all the time because right. he's got the new teeth and he's on, you know, NFL countdown. Bill Cowher, as you know, wasn't the greatest coach of all time, but for almost
he sort of solidified his legacy just by being a talking head.
But for a decade, whenever there was an in-season firing,
right.
Bill Cowher's name would come up.
Yep.
And Bill Belichick obviously has a much better resume than Bill Cowher.
This will hurt him because NFL teams will see that it's going to take time at North Carolina to get things together for him, and therefore in the NFL, it's not going to be a quick fix for right. him.
But it's just amazing. The same guy that didn't play Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl is the person saying, I don't care if you're going to help my players. I said we're the 33rd NFL team. Another thing, I thought he was against bold proclamations. I'm not going to allow scouts to watch players because I'm mad at the guy they work for.
Well, let's get Bill and Brady out of our system then here in the first hour because we could go to it every show. But can we play that clip from Mark Davis? You feel like this is solid evidence that this answers the question of who Brady was pissed at that he didn't sign
Oh,
with.
I love it. Yeah, let's do it.
I will do it.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Eniade.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Kenny Curtis. This is Ken
and Curtis on WEEI. Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
So last night we got a picture from Springfield. Our man Wiggs was out. What was he hosting out there? Some kind of trivia contest? It was called
80s Trivia something.
Pour Some Trivia on Me. And there's so Wiggs was out at MGM Springfield, and sounded like, it looked like a banging crowd out
what
there.
What band does Pour Some... Is that Rich Springfield?
No, it's not, but that would be cool. Def Leppard.
I didn't hear about that.
Good job by Wiggs out there representing, and also Rich Keefe, I think, yesterday and today was out at one of the package stores with Heineken, so, man, we're just out and everywhere.
Touching Heineys.
Yeah, touching Heineys. Curtis here on Ken and Curtis. We are not... My name is not Ken Curtis. Sometimes I get that on the road. You ever get that? I thought your name was Ken Curtis.
No, they say, oh, you're much better looking than I thought.
speaking of good looking, Brady. So now, Brady owns the Raiders, and I never really knew how much significance to put in that here over the last year because he's just a minority owner, right? We had the video that circulated of him coming in and all the Raiders employees kind of giving him the round of applause.
It has
that
less to do
nice.
With him and more to do with the punchline that the team he's a part of. Like, his owners are just like pumpkin pie haircutted freaks.
I guess. I mean, but do you think he's like involved? I mean, I really now think he's very involved there, which makes his whole broadcasting thing even more bizarre. Why he would want to keep that up.
Yeah. To me, I was dead wrong. I thought that the Mahomes pursuit of Tom's first Super Bowl was in New Orleans. Fox got the game. He sits out a year. He's wanted to do that. You get Tom to broadcast the Super Bowl where there's the passing of the torch until Mahomes puked on his pants, and then that would have been it. And it turns out, I mean, Tom wants $36 million a year. That's a pretty good chunk of change. And you get to do the Sunday games, and they were the highest rated year they ever had. So, I don't think he's the greatest analyst in NFL history, but he was successful.
As
so.
Somebody else wrote, he'll never be a transcendent broadcaster, but he's proven that he can be fine, right? He can right. be good.
But
good
it's enough. Impossible to be transcendent when you've already become transcendent at something else.
I wouldn't say that. There have been former athletes that have maybe
transcendent?
Great athletes. I'd have to think about that.
Well, so Wayne Gretzky, we love him, sucks.
Yeah. He's pretty good.
You think he's good?
Barkley, but about Barkley.
Not all-time
not
great.
Transcendent, I guess.
Right.
He was notable.
Like, you're talking about Tiger, Brady, Jordan, Kobe.
Yeah, if you're holding it to just the elites of the elites, you're probably right.
Well, transcendent.
Okay. Anyway, Brady, I didn't know how much... If you listen to this clip from...
You think Raiders, that Brady's a generational talent?
I don't know about that. I'm not ready to go there.
Do they have producers? They must have. I worked there. They have like 15 producers.
ESPN is having a tough go of it here.
And then he's flipping out about Peter Schrager not playing the game. Ryan Clark is a weird dude.
Okay, so, but here's this clip from Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, talking about, he gets into how much Brady means to the organization, but the biggest, to bury the lead, The first part of it is that we think now this is the reveal of the answer to the question. You're sticking with that effing guy, right? After he signed with Tampa, or before he signed with Tampa, he wanted to sign with this team and they chose somebody else, right?
Right.
Here's what Mark Davis said, the Raiders owner.
He was supposed to be here in 2020.
Oh, he was?
Well,
oh,
that's when our relationship started.
Got it.
Was in 2020 when he's a free agent, and we talked about him coming here to play quarterback, and obviously it was a tough decision for him, and he was close to wanting to come here, but the head coach and general manager decided they wanted to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
All right, you can stop there, Terp. So just pause there for now. So the head coach at the time was John Gruden, and the GM was Mike Mayock, and the quarterback was
Derek Carr,
right? So amazing. So, you know,
Mike Mayock, BC's own.
Yeah. Would he have won a Super Bowl in the desert?
I think of all the things that we misconstrued, you led the charge in all of this, was that Brady left here to go to a super team. He literally had no suitors. Nobody wanted him. And he ended up in Tampa, the losingest franchise in the history, by record, in the history of American team sports. And in the moments that he signed with Tampa, there was not a single solitary soul.
I picked him.
On this radio station that said, oh God, super team. It is the greatest example of revisionist history. They were 7-5. He was a punchline like Bill was. He forgot how many downs there were on Thursday Night Football against the Bears. The notion that that was somehow an easy path is one of the biggest gaslighting moments in Boston sports history.
But then why would he want to go back to the Raiders and own that team if they jilted him in his moment?
There's no taxes in Vegas. He wants to be in Vegas. I don't know.
I guess. He's just going to be like Elvis, finish out in Vegas?
So you don't think if the Kraft's offered what he got with Vegas, he would have stayed here?
Oh, I guess, maybe.
Teams aren't really running to give equity of their team away.
But then, we don't have to play the rest of the cut, but Davis goes on to say, like, I thought Gruden was going to be the guy we counted on to lead us back to glory. Now I think it's Tom. He mentions in there, he thinks for the rest of his life, he's going to be an owner of the Raiders. Could you wrap your brain around that? Brady is going to be a Raider for the rest of his life.
It's beneficial to the brand that he owns for Brady to be next to it, correct?
Does he still own and promote TB12?
What?
Oh,
no, I'm talking about for Davis.
It
is beneficial to the brand that he owns for Tom Brady to be adjacent and related to the Raiders.
Sure.
So until he's not with the Raiders, he's going to say, I expect him to be with the Raiders forever.
Okay, so you think it's just a stepping stone?
I have no. I couldn't tell you. I try not to talk about things I have no clue about. I have no idea.
You love talking about Brady.
Saying like the NFL ownership structure. I have zero clue. I know they just allowed private equity to invest, I think, 10-20% in teams, which was no longer the case, which was not the case forever. But I don't know how that pertains to Tom Brady. I can't imagine that Tom Brady's goal is to be a 2% owner of the Raiders.
Okay, let's get back to a list of things you feel good about with the Patriots and maybe even the Red Sox. Can we do that next?
Sure.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.